Let's get the show on the road. You're being recorded right now. You're broadcasting right now.
That's exciting.
I thought I'd mention that since certain people,
praise the Lord,
in other situations, were was hoping I wasn't recording. We are recording. Once I start talking, I'm recording.
Well, I don't tend to say anything too unexpected or anything.
Oh, yes, you're fine. I wasn't sure if Simon was going to be here.
Simon, check.
Yeah, I don't know if you've talked before.
We have talked about nuclear weapons.
Okay. Well, he may come back in a more regular fashion due to the fact that he's actively trying to support himself, I suppose, is the proper way to describe. Okay. Okay, I think we're ready. Freddy,
let me. Are we still doing the September Clues watch party?
Well, I wanted to finish up a couple videos that I don't even remember watching ever. And what do you think?
Yeah, so happy to do that.
It may not last the whole show. We'll see.
You were talking about bringing up that Canadian data.
Yeah, I sent it to you. I thought that was interesting.
It's exactly the same numbers. That's what I find very interesting.
Sorry, same numbers as what? Last time I sent them to you?
No, the numbers, the proportions are identical to what's happening here in Victoria.
Oh, same as Australia. Yeah, makes sense. I guess it makes sense. I guess we sort of got the same drugs.
Very interesting.
All right. Well, shall we take phone calls?
100%. Phone calls are the... This is a call-in show, as far as I've been saying.
Okay. I'll turn on the calls. It's just that when we're doing a watch party, can't really take calls.
But if I've got a particular, you know, sometimes I've got an agenda and I'll let you know that in advance.
Okay. Almost ready.
So, okay. Just for your interest, I'm using the Microsoft Edge browser.
Okay. Any reason?
Well, I haven't set it up with anything. You know, it's just because I've never used it for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clean, and so when I open up Restream,
yeah,
it's clean. You know, there's no issues.
It's clean. Okay. Clean is good.
Yep.
Okay. What's going on here? What happened to the files? That's not nice. Okay, just sorry, I'm holding just a second here. I hear birds.
Yes, it's quite birdful around here. Obviously, the microphone is much more excellent than I would have thought, because I'm actually sitting inside a shipping container.
Mm-hmm. As you do.
And you are hearing birds from outside.
They sort of like the 737.
Okay.
So the microphone is obviously quite sensitive. Sorry, unless the birds are at your end, of course.
No, there's no birds here. I'm underground for all intents and purposes. Okay. Open
wind. In your bunker.
I'm in the bunker.
I can only describe as it sounded like...
I'm in the bunker in the basement. File, open directory. Ember Clues Audio. Why doesn't it select folder? Oh, I see what's going on. I'm just trying to figure out this player here. Playlist. Actually, I like that one. I like that audio. Okay, we're just about ready to go. And
right now, in this tape, and there you can see the hit as it comes through what looked to me, at least, and this is the first time I've seen that tape. Look, you want to be careful here. We don't want to get too far ahead of this, but obviously this has all the appearances of an extraordinarily well-coordinated and devastating terrorist attack.
Good evening, everybody. It is the last day of the September Clues Watch Party. It is Thursday, September the 19th, 2024. And this is the Fakeologist speaking. We have Frank, our normal Thursday time slot holder. And Frank, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tim. And thanks for having me once again.
All right. Thank you for joining. And no Simon tonight. I actually didn't know for sure if Simon would show up yesterday. And he was just here, so, you know, artists are kind of, they show up when they can, I suppose. But we're for all intents and purposes, we're pretty much done the watch party of these, looks like 21 videos. And we're gonna go through a couple of them I don't think we watched. And Simon, I think, was done watching even his own videos. And for all intents and purposes, it's been a pretty darn good watch party, I think. I learned a lot. I learned quite a few things. Frank, did you learn anything?
A lot of things, yeah. But I haven't watched all of them yet, so I'm sure there's more to go.
But just a couple. And thanks to the donors, this was good for the donations. We got a few new ones. First of all, we got a Whopper from Farce Value, $1.50. Thank you, Farce. Farce Value is a regular on the audio chats, and he has made a couple appearances on the FAK series. So thank you, Farce Value. Thank to Nico Tromas, 50. And he is somebody, I believe, from the IPS group of listeners. And we also had 3467 from Sonia S. I don't know that person. And 1911 from Tony S.
Well, presumably 3467 was 33 plus the fees, was it?
It was. I appreciate that. That's very good. IPS is 34 is the new 33 that they've been encoding with 34 just because 33 is so widely known. And, so thank you for the monthly donors. This month of monthly donor list, I actually have to go through it. Many of these people have dropped off, but anyone that is on there for even a couple cycles is really greatly appreciated. And we have a new 9/11 donor, Epi B, and what else is new? A new $11 a month anonymous, I think that's new. I have to go through this list, but on the other hand, there are quite a few people like Bing and Waterman Chris. They are still supporting the show year after year. I know those are for sure. I think Pepper also. It appeared to bank sharply. Many of these people are continuing to donate on a monthly basis. Really appreciate it. And it's really greatly helps. And at fakeologist.com/donate, this is where you can easily make a donation. You don't need an account. You can use this one time or monthly chart here. It's very easy, very fast. Just bring out your credit card. Or some people are on Buy Me a Coffee and Ko-Fi. Some people have Bitcoin or Monero. Very few, actually. And there's, of course, the traditional PayPal and Patreon. And there's also this mailbox I set up, which costs me $30 a month. And I've only had one donation, so it sort of leads me to believe that that's kind of a undesirable method of donation. And Frank wanted the phone lines open. So we will open the phone lines. So if you want to call in and say anything about September Clues, you're certainly welcome to do so. Anyway, FakoTube is our video platform. And I'm going to open up and see if anyone is in the FakoTube chat. It's been quite quiet, actually. So the way to open the FakoTube chat in its own window is first I mute this tab, and then I open up the live stream. It's pretty fast, actually. And the live chat is over here on the right. And then I'll put it in a new tab. And that way people can see it over here. But normally I don't get a lot of action in the FakoTube chat, because most people seem to be over in YouTube. Although, wow, tonight's numbers are really low. Did we blow our wad with September Clues Watch Party? Has everyone had enough? I don't know. Okay.
That's right. Maybe it's all about the numbers.
Maybe I have tired everyone out. Okay, well, let's watch this one, Synthetic Themes. Now, Simon said it's not his video, so I thought I'd just watch it to see what it is. What is it? So here we go. But maybe it's not his. I might have to take it out of the playlist. Actually, it is his, it looks like. But maybe someone grabbed his video footage. I don't know. Have you seen this one, Frank?
No.
Okay, we'll take off the chat so we get this clear here. So we're going to watch the synthetic scenes. So Simon is showing some digital artifacts. Here we see a glitch typical of masking problems encountered in digital animation. I hope this is Simon's, because there's music, but it doesn't sound like Simon's music.
Considering he just lost his arm and the guy bumped him, I guess you would expect a bit more of a reaction.
Yeah.
More blood as well, I suppose.
Glaring evidence of fraud. Following animation was released on YouTube on 2008, author anonymous. The Glass Man. The Boogeyman. The Glass Man Revisited. The no-brainer. Face mutilations are consistent with glitches occurring in video compositing. The next image is from a virtual reality video tutorial. The original Naughty movie contains several signs of image compositing. Oh, that's a funny one. Lighting issues sometimes immediately determine the authenticity of video material. The unequal shadows of people in the next scenery cannot originate from sunlight. Okay, that does sound like Simon's text. A poorly executed exercise in virtual reality imagery. Following shots depict a crucial 9/11 incident. What are the odds of all of them to feature zoom motion just before or after totally unexpected events? We see this a lot, even today, actually. Zoom in. Zoom motions are used for effect in movie making to enhance the drama and the emotional impact.
It just looks like there's almost faces in those explosion clouds, isn't it?
Yes, we've said that before. The last thing you want, well, I've heard that. Maybe we haven't said it, but I have heard it. The last thing you want to do in a sudden situation is to toggle the zoom lens. I'd agree with that. Unless you are well prepared for it, you will spoil the shot or miss the action altogether. Are we to believe that all these stunning shots are the result of pure luck and happenstance? Or would it be more reasonable to surmise that they are the product of intentional planning? Was concocted by an incompetent crew of animators. Perhaps the most powerful images were the people seen jumping out of the World Trade Center on TV, that is. Yeah, I love the music. These three shots are meant to be by the same amateur cameraman. Yeah, the possibility that you could zoom in perfectly on a fast moving target are virtually impossible, I would say, especially as an amateur. They are nothing short of superhuman, all preceded by a zoom in. And nonetheless, the three jumpers appear to be glued to the center of the lens, which is perfect panning. Joe Wonder scores 3 out of 3. The 9/11 imagery was digitally animated, jumpers included. So 3 for 3. Chances of achieving 3 perfect pan shots in such conditions are ludicrously remote. The paratroopers. We are asked to believe that these three individuals, separated by 6 World Trade Center floors, decided to jump within a second of each other. He calls them the paratrooper jumpers. The circus artist jumpers. We are expected to buy that these two persons decided and managed to jump from their flaming office holding hands. And he has a little graphic of the feet maybe on fire. It's really just digital pixelation. But look at this guy's legs compared to his torso. Very strange.
He's a fantastic knees.
Yeah, he's got a big knee bump here. Mm-hmm.
Halo, hasn't he?
Pixel Halo. The jumpers were all photoshopped or animated, just like most of the 9/11 imagery. Yeah, that was very good.
Mm.
Yeah, that's definitely a Simon video, I would say, for sure. The 9/11 synthetic scenes, very good. Give that a thumbs up on FakoTube. Everyone should definitely go have a watch of that. That's fantastic. We're going to go back to the playlist. And we just have to hit the back button. I was wondering if there's any other way, but we will update this page just to see what we've got left. So we watched the synthetic scenes. What do we have left? I think we'll watch Fake Pentagon Smoke. And we never watched the first two amateur videos either. We could watch them if you want. Frank, it's up to you.
Thank you.
Let's watch the Fake Pentagon Smoke. Actually, this was I remember watching this. Simon didn't want to watch this yesterday. This is actually pretty good. There's many problems with the Pentagon Smoke. The Dancing Pentagon Smoke.
There you see a live picture from Washington. You would have to guess that that smoke is emanating from the Pentagon in the background. So the military nerve center of this country has been attacked by terrorists. The picture in Washington. So now we can say with certainty that there have been at least 3.
It's like it's looping, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. We can say with certainty that the smoke is on a separate video layer.
So now we can say with certainty. We can say with certainty. With certainty.
9/11 was a media-backed hoax. All of the imagery shown on TV that day was computer-generated, much like your average Hollywood action movie. Okay, that was 9/11 Pentagon. Back we go. That was a good one. I like that. That was easy. It's quick and to the point. Anytime you watch a video on FakoTube, you get a red line that indicates that you watched it. And that way, that's how I'm keeping track. Okay, this is another one where allegedly a plane crashed near Buffalo. And it had a woman, I believe, on there who was testifying, something to do with the 9/11 victims. Do you remember the story, Frank?
No, I don't.
This was a couple years after, I think.
Continental Airlines flight 3407 went down 5 miles from the airport, and the death toll is 50, including all 49 souls on board and one on the ground.
The first terrifying moments of the crash just outside of Buffalo captured and posted on YouTube.
Can somebody get some help for my daughter? She's hysterical.
A frantic search for the victims on the ground.
Oh my gosh, is there anybody in there? That's all my husband. Oh my.
Firefighters arrived to find a home engulfed in flames with only the plane's tail sticking out.
The crashed plane lies on its right-hand side.
Suddenly banked sharply to the right, then nosedived into a neighborhood.
I was in our family room, and
Mother Karen recalls how she and her daughter escaped from their house with minor bruises.
And I heard a noise. Planes do go over our house, but this one just sounded really different. And I thought to myself, you know, if that's a plane, it's going to hit something. And next thing I knew, the ceiling was on me.
Extremely hot fire, one of the biggest fires that I have encountered in my 17 years.
I could see the wing of the plane, and Jill was over to the side.
This is the very plane that fell over her house.
You know, crying, of course, hysterical.
Number 784 on the right-hand side of the tail. All right, this must be the intact right-hand side of the tail section. An amazing picture. Because the tail actually leaned upon its right-hand side. Can we prove this is meant to be the tail's right-hand side? Yes. This time, the TV fakery got exposed in three odd days.
State police and other emergency crew tell us there are parts of this wreckage that are still on fire.
Yes, the next morning, the tail section was still uncharred.
Police have not released the names of the victims, the people on the plane, but we do know that one of them was...
But the media knows that one of them...
The widow of a 9/11 victim. Beverly Eckert is her name, and she was flying back here to go to a ceremony honoring a scholarship in her husband's name.
On board the aircraft, prominent victims' rights activist Beverly Eckert, who lost her husband in the 9/11 attacks.
Wow, that's a bit
in New York.
Isn't it?
Oh, right, yeah. Surely,
wow.
Surely this odd plane crash has nothing to do with 9/11.
Stephen Wallace is a witness to the plane crash.
As Matt just mentioned, we have a breaking news story to tell you about. Apparently,
the flowers are different. He's comparing the flowers from 9/11 to the ones in this, whatever year this was.
A plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center.
Stephen Wallace is a witness to the plane crash. He joins us this morning. Stephen, you've spent 20 years as a paramedic, and you knew pretty quickly when you arrived on the scene that this was no longer a rescue situation.
Stephen, I mean, the fact that this plane came down and took only this one house in a very crowded neighborhood, that had to be surprising. I mean, this plane literally came in almost vertically.
Oh, that's true. When I heard the call and came in, I was expecting, I'm familiar with the area, I'm expecting 2, 3, 4 houses, if not a whole neighborhood gone. I was shocked when I came around the back and saw that basically the airplane came in at an angle right down, causing a crater. It wiped out one house. It damaged the garage and set some cars on fire. But we've all seen the pictures of the Hudson River where the plane kind of glided across the river. If that had happened here, there would have been 6-7.
Well, don't forget the Hudson River plane hoax as well. The planes were falling all over the place. Remember that? Do you remember Scully?
I watched the movie. Yeah, I watched the movie.
Houses
it's Sully.
Sully, yeah. Good old Sully.
Is that how the New Zealanders say silly?
Silly Sully, yeah.
A few businesses, and the catastrophe would have been a lot worse.
The weather may be at issue. What was the weather like at that point in time, Stephen?
Well, I shot 200 or 300 pictures, and the ironic thing is you could look at one picture, and the very next second, it's heavy snow with water, freezing rain, and then all of a sudden it's clear, the wind's really heavy, 20, 25 miles per hour, and then nothing. So it was a very variable weather situation going on.
Ice can distort that airflow, and if there is that distortion, the airplane can stall at a much higher speed and without warning being given to the pilots.
But the Bombardier-8 is a modern plane equipped with de-icing technology that the NTSB says was turned on. Investigators recovered that information off the black boxes already undergoing analysis in Washington.
They already got the black boxes yesterday. They were rapidly brought to New York.
Tim Morris, you, I understand, were the first at the scene. When you saw that tail sticking up and saw the Continental logo, had you also assumed it was a small plane up to that point? What was your reaction when you realized this was an airliner?
Being the first one on location, it was actually very tough to tell that it was, in fact, an airplane because of the massive amounts of fire, of course, being fueled by the jet fuel itself. But I didn't, in fact, know it was or nor could confirm that it was, in fact, a larger scale plane until I got about 180 degrees around the house. Then I did make contact with the wing of the plane, the tail end of the plane, and then verified that it was a larger scale plane.
Mother and daughter escape while watching TV. Dad was not as lucky.
So were you sleeping? Were you napping?
No, no. I was just watching TV. Jill was watching TV.
And do you know what Doug was doing? Or?
Well, I know he was going to get ready to go to bed, but you know, he'll always before, you know, he'll go out of the family room if he's in there, and he'll say when he's going up, "Well, I'm going up." And I don't remember him saying that, but he was working on some of his sports stuff in the dining room, and my thought is that he was in there, because I don't think it was long from the time he left that family room that this happened. It was only a few minutes, and my thought is that he was probably in there, and that is from the appearance of what's happened in the middle
of
the
very house. Detached lady. Losing a house.
Yeah, it's a tiny house. How did she not know where the hell he was? It's not like these are wartime houses in Buffalo.
I mean, what's going through your mind? I mean, can you believe? Does
nope.
It seem surreal?
The news media is at it again. Please watch September Clues. So Simon said it's another BS story. Okay. So that got rid of a 9/11 victim actress. I would say that was the
appropriately, and they did it, you know, with the poetic justice aspect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why don't we watch some more 9/11 amateur footage, quote unquote amateur footage? Would you like that, Frank?
I would love that, Jim.
Okay, thanks to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say hi in the chat to Pete Trippa, Les Go, Echo Charlie, The Unmediated Mind, Mike D, Wormy Dog, Gematria 101, and who else we got here? Okay, we got a whole conversation going here. And, okay. We'll carry on here. 9/11 Amateur Part 1. 9/11 TV hoax was an amateurish affair, yet most of the fakery wizards were professionals in the video animation industry. What a coincidence. One by one, they are being identified.
Hello?
Hi, Devin?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Jeff. I talked to you like a couple months ago about your video about 9/11.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Devin said he filmed this video from his office window.
Sorry to bother you again. I was just wondering. I never got a chance to ask you. Where exactly did you film that from?
One Penn Plaza.
Like you yourself, you're like a video animator or like digital
motion graphics.
Like how hard do you think with your in your professional opinion would it be for them to have made fake videos? Not very hard at all or?
No, it would be totally easy. It would be, you know, completely feasible in order to create those fake videos.
This is from Devin's bio. Devin Clark is a large and powerful manimator. His work is offensive only in that his videos are so revolutionary that upon exposure they cause most people's minds to explode or at the very least lower their IQ 20 points. When he is not promoting false knowledge, he draws horrible pictures to frighten small children. Are you kidding me? So that's from his bio.
I don't care who did it or how it was done. All I know is that it was a horrible tragedy, you know?
Here's what he... Here, hold on. Some stuff Simon puts on fast and sometimes slow. Okay.
I don't care who did it or how it was done. All I know is that it was a horrible tragedy.
Here's what he claims to have filmed on 9/11.
You know?
Sharply and smash directly, perhaps purposely.
Whoa! Holy cow!
What happened?
Another plane just hit. Oh my god, the other tower!
Just ran into the other tower.
Shot number two.
We had an eyewitness who said it was a large plane that crashed first. And then
this is supposedly the view from Devin's office window. Get a lot of blue sky this time, didn't we?
We saw a plane crash into the other tower of the World Trade Center.
But first, let's analyze shot number one. The airplane shadow hops across the screen. Some folks will tell you, oh well, that's because of the NTSC to PAL format video conversion. Oh well, let's get on. Slow motion. In a 550-mile-per-hour Boeing 767, bank by 12 degrees in only 1 second? Oh, hold on a sec. I think we have... we got John joining in tonight. Hey, John.
Hello there.
John Robinson, hello. How's it going? You're a video guy from the Zundel files.
Yeah, I just looked into it. Looks like all my problems with communicating on your show there have been corrected somewhere along the line, so I thought I'd try it out, and here I am.
Oh, good. You just came at the right time. We're analyzing video a la September Clues with Frank the Salt Guy from Australia.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Which is great that you're testing it, because you're going to come on Sunday around 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yes, indeed.
And not only that, you're a video expert.
I do my best, yeah.
Well, you were the videographer for Ernst Zundel, and so you know a lot about video from even way back in the beginnings of time. Have you ever watched September Clues?
I haven't got around to that one yet. I did watch... what was it? Loose Change stuff, yep.
Okay.
September Clues is on my list of things to watch, which is fairly long.
We're doing a watch party. This is the last day of a 10-day watch party. We're watching some of the last videos in the series. And one of the reasons we did a watch party is because it seems like it's hard for people to get around to watching stuff. So we just thought we'd all do it together as an excuse, so.
Sounds great.
We're watching, this is what is called amateur video. In other words, the 9/11 hoax had every one idea aspect covered. So they said, these are actual amateur videos. But it turns out that most of the all the people that took the amateur videos were video professionals, people in the animation or media business. So what Simon specializes in is destroying these videos as impossible to create in real life. So he contends they're all CGI forgeries, including including what we're watching now. Can you see the screen okay?
Yeah, I can see it fine.
Okay, so if you want to hang out and watch a little bit.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to keep watching this. So he's saying that the video, he's asking Boeing to let us know if it's possible for a plane to bank 12 degrees at that speed. Now, if we simply crop Devin Clark's amateur video, we get a CBS shot aired on live TV.
No, I didn't see what caused it or if there was an impact. But caused it or if there was an impact. But caused it or
so
if
he's showing was... he's showing different angle ratios. 9:1, 9:1.
Mm-hmm.
Was an impact.
What are the odds for a video amateur to shoot a clone of the CBS shot? So obviously what Simon's saying is, see, John, what Simon did, all the videos taken on the day of 9/11 were archived on a television archive website, and he literally took all of them and lined them up, synchronized them to see if it's even possible that they're all from different news organizations. And Simon is contending they are all created by the same video forgeries. In other words, CBS, ABC, NBC, none of them took their own video. It was all forged by one production company. So the idea, we're supposed to be, the media wanted us to get the idea that all of them were taking their own footage, when in fact they are all just morphs or versions of the exact same shots, including the so-called amateur videos, which he is saying that was just a copy of the so-called CBS footage, which was also a forgery. So this is a forgery of a forgery.
They are not short of chutzpah.
No.
The same, like,
Devin Clark's video also looks like a carbon copy of CNN's live TV shots.
Video did?
I did. That's my footage. They have my. The CNN was next door to where I worked at the time, and I gave them my footage. HBO also used my footage for a documentary.
Oh, so the video footage they played on CNN was your actual footage?
Some of it, probably, yeah.
Like, what did they do? They buy it off you, or?
No, I gave it to them for free. I'm not gonna make money off of the track.
Now let's focus our attention on this building in the foreground. Now it's here. Now it's there. A simple high contrast setting reveals that foreground and background are separate layers.
Oh, I like it.
A simple high... On CNN, Aaron Brown seemed to be on a rooftop with, again, an identical New York skyline.
Well, it is a grotesque sight to look at from about 30 blocks away from where...
So CNN is right here, way away from where he is.
We are.
And Devin Clark is over there. In order to do a shot with this building to the right of the towers...
You have to be...
I just wanted to get that quick question.
Where this guy is, actually.
Devin Clark would have to be in a building somewhere down here.
Mm-hmm.
The 24th floor.
Someone might like to verify if such a shot can be done from here.
When you call Wave Express.
Okay.
But, you know, people are going to spin it.
Pythagoras may have his doubts about that.
However, the way they want to spin it. People want to believe that it wasn't real. They're more than happy to go upon that.
Parallax, right. Impossible parallax. An important clue which has emerged is that most of the 9/11 TV shots of Manhattan were composed with some animation software with severely flawed perspective simulation, as seen here.
Oh, yeah. I only started recording this stuff. I was only told about what was happening just after the so-called planes had hit. So I only started recording all the newscasts after that, so I missed it on the day. But
You've done that. Have you still got those?
Yeah, still got those.
Do you know what channel you were recording?
Every channel I could. I'd record for a while on one channel, and then I switched to another one to see if I could get different perspectives, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've got those tapes floating around somewhere in my archives.
Well, as a good archive should, I expect you to. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a real shame. I wasn't watching TV at the time when it actually all started. I just got a phone call from my sister.
Mm-hmm.
She said, United States is under attack. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, right. What's this all about now?
Were you suspicious at the top of that, at the beginning?
The whole concept of America being under attack made me suspicious, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I couldn't see how anybody could do such a thing, you know.
Exactly. It does not make sense on the surface.
It does not make sense. Like I said, I did watch Loose Change, and, yep. Yeah, I'd buy that one for sure. Loose Change is an excellent piece. Especially the part that I really like about it,
mm-hmm.
was when they were when he was talking about the so-called plane hitting the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
That was some of the best detail of the fakery of it all that I've seen. You know, it's really good. It's something that is, even for a regular person, it's inarguable. When you show them that, it's obviously BS. Yeah. Obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed this to my sister when I got it afterwards. She's the one who got me into this.
Mm-hmm.
And her jaw just dropped. And she now recognizes it for what it is. Yeah, yeah, fake. Yeah. I mean, it did happen, but it wasn't. It was an inside job, obviously. Especially when that one fireman... In that one documentary by those two brother French filmmakers, when he was talking about explosions when he was down in the basement stuff, he said it sounded like explosions one level at a time coming down from the top. So obviously he heard it. He didn't know what to make of it at the time, but he obviously heard that it certainly was not aircraft crashing into the place. It was obviously demolition.
Mm-hmm. Let's just watch a little more here.
Mm-hmm.
The dancing Verrazano Bridge, the moving bridge. So he's showing the different perspectives are completely wrong.
That's the bridge where they applied the curve of the earth to.
Oh, right. Oh, is that right? But let's return to Devin Clark. Apparently, he also filmed the collapse of the second tower from his office window.
There is a large fire at the Pentagon. The Pentagon has been evacuated. And there's, you can see, perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing.
Okay, well, thanks for your time again, Devin. Sorry to bother you.
That's all right. Good luck with your pursuit. I fully support people to continue the investigation of this. I don't think we have heard the whole story, and I support people like you who are trying to get to the bottom of it. Definitely.
Simon's questioning the smoke patterning. Hey, hold on, Devin. Why this smoke overlay and subsequent speeding up of the tape?
Okay, well, you take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
The 9/11 hoax. The 9/11 TV hoax is now clearly exposed. The entire Manhattan scenery was composed with digital imagery aimed at faking hijacked aircrafts hitting the Twin Towers. This analysis has shown how the TV footage was also used to concoct amateur videos endorsed by individuals who may have participated in the image doctoring.
Yeah, but the people who did all this, they've got mountainous chutzpah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think their conscience would be like now?
Conscience?
The people that participate.
They don't have a conscience, is your point.
Yeah, otherwise it would never have been done if they had a conscience. As a matter of fact, I read a book by some doctor about psychopaths.
Yeah.
So, and the title of the book was Without a Conscience. He said, yeah. That's the hallmark of the psychopath. They're not necessarily all killers, they're not necessarily all, but none of them have a conscience. And they do this because they don't see any reason not to, you know, that type of thing. And I think he was quite right.
It's kind of indicative of being, they're in a religious cult that gives them a moral stand that obviously allows them to pursue this deception. Is how I
view it. Oh, yeah, for some of them, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Presumably the same religious cult that they operate out of the United Nations prayer room.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, it's interesting what there is all out there in the world. It's quite amazing. You know, if you, as I'm sure you are all aware, that if all the people, the only people who don't catch on to any of this are the people that only watch mainstream media. You know, because that puts you, of course, in a certain frame of mind. And for the rest of us who go around and dig up other things, obviously on the internet all over the place, there's all kinds of interesting things. But for those who don't do that, they just can't grasp it. They don't have this, wider view of things.
But it's not just that, but when you try to raise it, there's a revulsion that seems to rise up in them. It's extraordinary. You know, they're not able to avoid an almost visceral revulsion that comes across people when you start saying this.
Yeah, basically it's the, what do you call it? Yeah, watching not only does the mainstream media, of course, you know, hide all kinds of information from you for their agenda, but also it also gives them that avulsion. You know, this is all far right. These are all neo-Nazis. And you can't listen to them. They're all liars. They're all this. So, yeah, when they're confronted with this, all that kicks in. And as you say, they have this revulsion. Yeah. Some of them to the extreme. Some of them actually get a physical reaction.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a physical.
Yeah, it's not just mental. It's also physical. I had a store once upon a time. And it had a lot of politically incorrect things for sale. And just to show you that the idea,
like salt or something,
the reaction of some people, right? So this young lad comes in. Well, two young boys come in. They look to be about maybe somewhere 12 or 14 or something like that. Maybe. And so the first one comes in, and he looks around the store, and he's kind of, you know, he's buoyant. He's got a little smile on his face, and he's, you know, got his open eyes. Wow, look at all this neat stuff, etc. And 30 seconds later, another one walks in, and he's very, what have I got myself into? He's a little hunched over. He's very, well, very scared looking, actually. So I talked to the first one who came in and said, hey, how's it going? Like, I had a bookstore and stuff, did all these things. Anyway, he said, turned out he's this young Canadian guy who lives not too far away. And so he said, and turns to the other person who's not happy. He said, and this is my friend from Germany. Right? And I thought to myself, yep, that explains it perfectly well.
Yeah.
So anyway, he comes in, and I start showing him a couple of things. Not really overly dramatic, I don't think. Anyway, and he literally just runs out of the store.
Yeah.
Just triggering.
And the Canadian boy looks at the door as he's gone. He looks back at me, and he says, "What was that all about?" I said, "Maybe you should go ask him. He'll explain it to you." So he took off. So, yeah, what the brainwashing is, yeah, it could do these things to people. You know, not, of course, not everybody, but a sizable percentage is like that, which is, to me, the people who do that, I would consider them criminals. And if there's any way of ever to get them into a court, that would be a good idea.
Interesting. Yeah. They've really did a number on the Germans, that's for sure. Okay, let's watch amateur video number two. By Simon Schack, Clues Forum. This is an analysis of arguably the most well-known footage of 9/11. It has played in cinema halls and in countless TV features. It is the only quality footage of the strike on the first tower. We are all familiar with these images of a busy New York Fire Department team checking for a gas leak in the middle of a fully closed-off New York intersection. These images were purportedly shot by these award-winning film students, the Naudé brothers. A Paramount feature film was produced out of the fortunate images they shot while embedded, as the story goes, with a New York firehouse. They both caught the Twin Tower strikes on film. Sorry, they caught both the Twin Tower strikes on film. Let's see what they filmed by pure chance on that morning. Can't see no gas down there. But wait, I smell a rat. Pan up. And there you go. Do wingtips explode, or do they shear off? North side explosion. East side explosion. Top floor explosion. West side explosion.
And a face in the smoke.
And south side explosion, approximately 20 stories lower, and top floor smoke. Simon's saying, how's that possible? One heck of a fuel tank. A very odd shape impacts the tower. It appears to be transparent and looks nothing like a Boeing 767. Frequently asked question, if it wasn't an airplane, just what caused that airplane-shaped hole in the tower? ±160 feet. The answer is all on film. Primary explosion burns out. Secondary linear explosion. 6 seconds after impact. Let's loop it a few times. Pre-placed charges. So Simon, this is when Simon, I think, thought maybe it was a simulation in real time. But he's since revised his view, and he thinks all of it was just a simulation. There was no... This was not a real shot on the day of at all. It's all fabricated. But he's showing the problems with what they say is the real thing. Yep. At least 10 vertical fairings are still intact. Wall still intact. In fact, as we reverse the tape, by the way, Simon has no music on this one. We may see that 30% of the tower wall is still intact. No airplane here. Tape forward again. Hey, John, you might want to mute your mic because we hear you eating. That mic you've got is extremely good. John?
It might be me, not him.
Who's eating? Somebody's eating.
I am.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, I'm finishing my supper.
You might want to mute your mic because your mic is really powerful. It's picking up every bite.
Making everybody hungry?
Well, I don't know. I'm full, so it's kind of grossing me out, actually. 6 seconds after airplane impact and 15 seconds after airplane impact, the black gash stretches out to edge. No airplane here. Conclusive proof of non-existing airplane. Boy, that woke me up. The gash made by cutter charges and missile was 30 feet short of a Boeing 767 wingspan, 160 feet. So he's just speculating it was made by bombs. That's why some photoshopping was done to fix the problem. Can we verify that this black tip has been painted in? Yes, we can. Secondary explosions cut through tower wall. Eleven seconds after plane impact, still no black gash. Missing gash tip gets painted in now. Loop in grayscale, where you can really see it. Frame by frame, the black gash is penciled in. So, to recap, at real speed, pay attention. First explosion. He asked missile, but since Simon doesn't believe missile anymore. Second explosion, pre-placed charges, he's saying. And then a black gash painted in. Fast forward. This Photoshop job was a poor idea. The Nade forgery crew failed to communicate with the TV forgery crew.
You can now see there on that one side.
This is ABC Live 11 minutes
well, you
later.
You can see flames now coming actually out of two sides.
No of the black
and I
gash.
I'm minimizing actually the number of openings that are on those the two faces of the World Trade Center. There's
wow.
I am in Chelsea.
This is CBS Live 15 minutes later.
See, and we are at 8th and 16th. We are the tallest building
no
in the area.
No gash
and we,
tip
my
here.
Window faces south.
You've just seen proof that no Boeing 767 crashed into World Trade Center 1. If you are new to this research, you should know even more hard evidence shows no plane impacted into World Trade Center 2, nor anywhere else. The exposure of video fakery on 9/11 is at the core of the truth search. It is widely vigorously sabotaged. Oops. Too fast, Simon. It is being vigorously sabotaged by disinformers who, of course, call this research disinformation. It is an uphill struggle. The disinformers are supported by the mainstream media.
Two towers. Now both towers.
What to do?
Have been hit by planes.
Do
now,
you care?
You are totally powerless in knowing what's
if you
going
do,
on.
Verify all this for yourself and spread the word fearlessly. You're not alone. Demand a new 9/11 inquiry with all the means available to you. Meanwhile, switch off that TV set for your own good.
I agree with that one.
And watch September Clues. Da, 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 not available on TV. So that is just that is the final video in the 21 video series called September Clues. So it's not just the main video, which is somewhat incomplete towards the end, but all these extra videos that you really have to get your head around and take a look at. And
you know, there was another video put out, or at least I think it was a newscast or something on, I think it was YouTube maybe. It was about, if I'm right, my memory serves, about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Something of that nature. And it was a group of first responders for the 9/11.
Yeah.
Now got up this meeting and wanted more investigations done. Even they're not believing the story anymore. So they publicly, you know, are asking for more investigations to be done on this this whole event. I think that was very ballsy of them.
Well, do we, again, there's a lot of controlled opposition. It's everywhere. So the question is, are these, what kind of investigation do they want? There's only one investigation that bears any kind of...
Well, the clip that showed that, just said that they want more investigation. They didn't give any details of any kind.
Yeah, exactly. I think people, they want investigation about who done it. But the question is, and this is what Simon, this is what he proves, and it's taken me all this last 10 days to really get to the core of the message, and that is Simon absolutely proves that all the video, including the collapse footage, including World Trade Center 7, was forged. It's all a bad forgery. In other words, we saw nothing that happened on that day that was real. Everything was fake. Every last bit of footage, including the stuff that they want investigated.
Yep.
There is no investigation. The investigation is complete with September Clues, and that is that all of the media was complicit that day. They all stood down like the military. In other words, they were probably told no footage that day. Everything will come out of the Central Command, and all the video, which was pre-recorded and pre-coordinated, was going to come out of this one production studio. CNN, Fox News, none of them were there that day. None of them were broadcasting from that site that day. It was a total media blackout. In place was inserted this very poor animation job of the planes, of the witnesses, of the helicopter footage. All of it was a forgery. So there is no investigation required, and anyone who speaks out just doesn't understand or is put there as placeholders to opposition. What do you think of that? That's my thesis. That's what.
Well, I think it's. I agree with you entirely, and it's a good place for me to bow out. As I said, I've got a
heart out. Okay, today. Frank, thanks for joining in.
No, I appreciate it. And
nice to meet you, Frank.
You again, John. I have spoken to you briefly at one stage, but yeah.
Very good. Take care.
It'd be very interesting, probably controversial, to take up the topic of Germany at some point.
Yes. Well, that's sort of what John and I do on a...
No, I just mean the psychology of the current psychology of...
Oh, Germany today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it would be interesting to go through what the consequences have been and how it's working, mm-hmm. in the current context. But yes, I must disappear.
Thank you, Frank.
Yep.
See you on the audio chats. Okay, if you go to Diana South wants to know, how do I get the extra video? If you want the extra video, go to shortfake.com/SC, September Clues, and that will give you all of it with some text that ties it all together. And probably now I could probably elaborate on some of the text. And one other part that I wanted to read to everybody tonight, and that was from septemberclues.org. And if you go there, you get this message at the top left. September Clues, the original research. So you click on that. And this is a summary. If you don't read anything else or understand anything else, I'll read this out and then we'll close the show out. The power of imagery. Television is and always has been a weapon of mass distraction. The power of TV imagery was the driving force behind the 9/11 deception. And I'll give you an example from my own family. I asked my mother the other day, who's still addicted to the TV, I said, when did the TV first come into your house? John, can you imagine what year in America that the TV entered some of the cutting edge technology people's house? Like my grandfather, he was big into getting the latest stuff.
Yeah. But our TV came to our house, and I think it was about 1959 or 60.
Okay.
Something like that.
Take a guess when it came into my mother's house.
No idea.
1948.
Whoa. Oh, she's got the edge.
She has been consuming this for 70. No. Yeah. My math sucks. 80 years. Mm-hmm. Coming up to 80 years in 4 years. Yeah. So 75 years. Yeah.
And my father always resisted getting a TV. I don't know. I was too young to ask any questions or what he thought about that or why he was resisting it. But my mother was insisting, and she eventually went out.
As they do? Yeah, before mm-hmm. that was the radio. So anything you heard was the imagery was created in your mind.
Yeah, the War of the Worlds broadcast in 1930 is a prime example of that.
Absolutely, yeah. It might even be more powerful when your own mind creates the imagery.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it is. That's why, for many people, the book is better than the movie.
Always, yeah. Because
in the book, you created your own imagery.
And it never matches what someone else creates on screen, because that's their brain.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, carrying on. Whenever a major news event is reported by the mainstream media, it will invariably be illustrated with photographs or videos in order to convey to the public some visual impressions of the event. Undeniably, the imagery connected with any given news story enhances our emotional relation to it. The way we relate to news imagery has an almost hypnotic effect on our psyche. We have come to consider the visuals of any given news story as proof of the news story's authenticity. This is truly a weak spot of our brain's readiness for critical thinking. Thus follows, unfortunately, that to challenge the authenticity of a catastrophic event shown on live TV is way beyond what most people are willing to contemplate. However, the time has come for everyone to call television by its most appropriate military-sounding name, Weapon of Mass Distraction. The 9/11 PSYOP relied foremostly on that weak spot of ours. We all fell for the images we saw on TV at the time, understandably so, as the sheer horror of the proposed imagery generated a wall of outrage and fear, thick enough to discourage any critical review of it. In hindsight, we can only wonder why so few questioned the absurd TV coverage proposed by all the major networks. The picture at left shows a moment at 8:59 a.m. of the four synchronized TV broadcasts of ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. Yet another indication that the 9/11 TV live, in quotes, broadcasts were managed by one single centralized studio. What television viewers saw on 9/11? The 9/11 TV imagery of the crucial morning events was just a computer-animated prefabricated movie. It featured, for the most part, what were meant to be chopper shots of the smoking towers, and very little else. The sum total of action shots, plane crash, and tower collapses amounted to little over 30 seconds of entire morning's TV broadcasts. Needless to say, much of the rest of the animation movie, none of these action shots depicted any sort of reality. Now, it may be difficult for many to understand why the 9/11 plotters needed to fake even the tower collapses. Yet this was undoubtedly the most crucial aspect of the entire operation and needs to be fully understood in its plain logic. The unprecedented World Trade Center demolition job was far too risky an affair to be shown on live TV or to let any amateur cameraman capture it on film. The 9/11 conspirators had no intention whatsoever to offer such a pyrotechnical spectacle to world scrutiny. Just imagine how unspeakably foolish this would have been. Thus, in all probability, the oldest trick in the manuals of covert military ops was used: smoke screens. Most recent technology deactivated temporarily all cameras within sight of the area. In reality, the towers were most likely enveloped in thick smoke, military obscurance, as they collapsed, and no real footage exists of that brief event. Thankfully, for all normal people of this world, the 9/11 planners hired a poorly skilled animation crew. In their efforts to simulate reality, their crass artistry and countless mistakes provide ample and repeatable proof of the trickery, forever engraved in the TV archive. These images are an intolerable insult to human intelligence. And we'll just, we're getting close to the end here. Why the fake news broadcasts? The 9/11 TV broadcasts were designed to sell a fictitious terror attack to the world by replacing the real life events of the day, the World Trade Center demolitions, with fake imagery. The official story was quite surreal, as were the TV images of the day and the preposterous tale of 19 kids roundly outfoxing the United States Air Defense. It is essential to judge with one's own eyes the broadcasts actually aired by ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and CNN. What about the amateur videos? All the other videos, endlessly replayed on TV, were released only later. They have all been extensively analyzed by scores of video analysts, and each and every video snippet of quote-unquote amateur imagery has been methodically dissected and compared and empirically proved to be nothing else than computer-generated fabrications. But real people are tied to this story. Unfortunately, yes, in all likelihood, those involved deeply enough are coerced into maintaining a position that has been scripted for them. For now, we can assume nobody is comfortable being the first whistleblower about the operation because they would be alone against a globalist empire that controls the people's only source of information about its activities, the media. Would you be the first to speak out against such a monolithic force? It's one thing to be an independent investigator like ourselves. It is entirely another to break a gag order contract with the U.S. government. As for what to do if you know or suspect someone is in trouble because of the events of 9/11, you lost a loved one or know someone who did during that time, please see our advice in the FAQ. How were private videos impeded? In order for the 9/11 TV deception to succeed, full visual control of the Manhattan area had to be in place. The existence of EMP HERF technology is indisputable. Only the hypothesis of it being used on 9/11 remains unverifiable. It is, however, a reasonable postulation supported by a series of electronic blackouts which occurred in New York City that morning. In any event, the logic of using EMP HERF holds water and effectively explains the ruse with disarming simplicity. No private photography of the real-life events was allowed. Thus, the imagery aired by the TV networks feared no comparison and was passed off as reality. And I think Simon's updated that. He just thinks that there was a massive military curtain raised before at 8:45, and it was not lowered probably into the evening. And even in the evening, it was probably still going, so they could be busy cleaning up a controlled demolition, standard rubble pile. Anyway, that is the power of imagery. That was on septemberclues.org. And once more, if you want to support his research, there's a donate button on the bottom. And that concludes the September Clues Watch Party. We're done. We probably won't watch it again in the same way, but I really encourage people to go to septemberclues.org, go to my website, September Clues Tour Guide, where I basically just ripped it off his site and put it on my site. And that will give you a complete idea of what they did that day. All the videos are there, including a couple extra ones that I actually did myself, just reading like I just did, different parts of Clues Forum and my own site. And that's all you need to know about 9/11. So that is our tribute to the 9/11 hoax 23 years later. If you understand this, all other media stories, including exploding pagers, will make a whole lot more sense. It's all fake, folks. There's nothing to worry about, and Fake Nukesville has sort of picked up the torch, and he's busy showing today's footage. It's a complete fabrication. Yeah, so John is with us tonight, and you're going to come back Sunday. I don't really have an agenda for Sunday other than we can just maybe go over some of your latest videos. You're busy posting on your BitChute site, I believe.
Yes. Yep. I've put up numerous ones on my BitChute site. I also, for those who wish to read, I also have started a PDF site.
Okay.
On archive.org. It's called researcher_PDF. I've got a couple of hundred books and papers on there for those who are interested in the politically incorrect.
Is it, did you say researcher_PDF?
Yes.
Maybe I spelled it wrong. archive.org/researcher_PDF. I think I'm missing something because it's coming up, page not found.
Well, you could actually go to archive.org and then just type in researcher_PDF. Should find something.
Okay. I'll see if I can find it here. Well, you'll have to give me the right one because it's not coming up still. So.
Well, I'll tell you what I can do. Just at this immediate second as we're sitting here, there's you can try typing in Jewish quotes.
Jewish in quotes?
No, Jewish quotes.
Oh, Jewish quotes. Okay. Well, we'll get all this for Sunday. And that's what I get there.
Oh, well, that's because you're into the Wayback Machine thing. That's different. That's not okay. Where I'm at.
Well, that's archive.org.
Yeah, but they have a different section.
Okay.
Regular archive.org and then the Wayback Machine. That's a separate section for different things.
Okay.
Okay, anyway.
We'll get it Sunday. So you're going to be back Sunday. We'll discuss some of your research. And hopefully you'll get to watch September Clues. It's hard to get people to watch stuff and talk about it, but that's why we did the watch party. So if you want to watch the watch party, well, it's probably longer. It's 10 different shows now.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to fakotube.com, I'm going to have to make a program out of it. It's just a what they call a playlist or a program, but it's right here.
Yeah, playlist. That would be a good idea if you can do that.
I am definitely going to do it. All of the shows have a similar thumbnail at the beginning. So you can definitely easily identify them, but we're going to create a playlist as well. And there it is there. And I'm glad you got your thing working there.
Yeah, it turns out it was a problem with my internet access. ISP service provider. They had umpteen problems about different things, and eventually they got it sorted their problems out, and that was the cause of the communication problem.
And it was the source of all your problems.
Yeah, basically. It had nothing to do with Restream at all.
That's good. Well, we figured as much, but it's not easy diagnosing problems, that's for sure.
Yeah, indeed.
All right. Well, don't forget, everybody, this show doesn't grow on trees on its own. We are value for value. You pay whatever you think the show's worth. If it's worth a dollar, that's fine. If it's worth $10, or in Forest Value's case, it was worth $150, so we really appreciate that. We don't set any set amount. It's whatever you can afford or what you think it's worth. And I really appreciate everyone who helped support it. One thing I did recently, and it is causing some problems with some sites, is I am now paying for CDN access, or what does that stand for? Basically, the site is propagated around the world at different internet access points. So, for instance, the website now has a copy in England and Germany and Sweden, so it should load many times faster. It's not done yet. I don't have mirrors in Africa, mainly because it costs four times as much, and I don't think anyone in Africa watches or comes to the website as a rule, so I don't have any internet presence there, so they have to use their routing to get all the way over here to North America. But if you're in Europe or even Australia, I pay full price for the Australians. So it should be much faster in Australia and all over Asia as well. So let me know if it's working. Now, sadly, my most prolific poster, Lynn, can't get at the forums, which sucks. Jeez. So I'm trying to troubleshoot with her what's going on. I don't want to turn off the cache, but I am moving the forums anyway to another platform. But in the meantime, if you're having any problems, she's getting a 502 error. I'm not quite sure why. I think I have an idea why. So I'm going to try and fix it. But in the meantime, if you're having any trouble, let me know. But the blog definitely at my end is loading way faster. So a lot of people don't know. We have a blog, fakeologist.blog. But that's where I put all the videos, and that's where I put all my posts. Obviously, the last little bit has been almost all audios and videos, as you can see here. Tons and tons of stuff, including one today I did with Mism. We did a whole broadcast on 9/11 earlier today, and Mism is a big 9/11 researcher, and we also helped her set up Podcast Addict, if you have a phone, an Android phone, you can click on this link here, and it will show you how to set up both our radio stations and add the feed to Podcast Addict, which is the number one podcast program on Android. And I notice it's really sluggish to load. I don't know why. So this might be related to Lynn's problem, but there is something wrong with it. But if you do go there, it should work. It also should be somewhere up here. Let me just see here if it's anywhere here. Well, this is always a work in progress. I don't know why it's not loading right now. There's something screwed up because my web server moved their web server in the last week. So there are many complications, but hopefully I'll be able to get it. So right now that's not working, so it must be related to Lynn's problem, I'm guessing, because they're both on the same server. But anyway, so that's what we're up to. And fakeologist.com/donate. John, thanks for joining. We'll see you around 8 o'clock on Sunday.
Very good, sir.
And thanks for getting it all working. That's great.
Yes, it's a load off my mind because I really enjoy doing this.
Yeah, and the phone just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
Because you can't see the screen easily, and it's no good. So.
Nope.
So thanks for joining, and we'll see you Sunday.
You bet.
All right. Take care, everybody. Okay.
Plane crashed into the tower number 2. That's the one to the left.